right, here we go. I think I could have bumped that a little bit louder if we weren't in a professional setting for a pump-up song, but so be it. I'm here with Samit and Lorenzo from Beyond the Boards, a youth hockey development program based out of Calgary here, obviously. So let's just get right into it. Let's start with Samit. Yeah, just tell me like a little bit about your personal background, your hockey career in a nutshell, yeah, and give it to me.
Yeah. Thanks first off just having us here. Really appreciate it. I think it's great for the boys as well. We just finished making our spring team, so
nice.
I'm sure they're gonna enjoy this as well. Some of them.
A few name drops.
Yeah.
Should have the whole roster up.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's on Facebook actually. But
perfect.
Anyways, yeah, started the hockey development program, and back in 2015, I think it was about June, we started off with six players, and
phone call already.
We started off with six players, and now it's we're looking into growing it, and we have an 04 2004 year birth group that we've started, and this past spring of 2016 was our first real program, I would say, that's really launched and was a success for us, and that went on to the summer program, and now we're in our second year of ops, and now we're looking into starting a 2008 group.
Beauty. And so we'll switch to Lorenzo here quickly, just so he is introduced as well. Tell the large listenership here a little bit about yourself.
Well, essentially I've been playing hockey since I was about 5 years old, so it's been a passion of mine at a really young age. Been involved in it competitively. Grew up with two older brothers, and that's all we would do is literally just hang out in the basement, shoot pucks, run each other through walls, essentially, have a good time. And I played hockey for the Property Sports Association all the way through community. And then in Quadrant, I played for the Calgary North Stars Hockey Association, where I ended my career in Junior B with them.
Yeah.
And then for now, I've just been in university right now. I'm graduating in April 2017, which I'm pretty excited about.
Congrats.
And Samit came to me with this opportunity with Beyond the Boards about a year or so ago, last summer.
Yeah.
No, summer prior to that.
Yeah.
About August, and he just literally just rang me up and gave me the pitch on it, and I was bought in right away. I was like, I love hockey. I've been looking for something to dedicate myself to that I have a passion for, and it's something that I'm really excited about. And it's been fun the past year.
Yeah,
since just running the spring team and then doing the summer development programs.
Yeah,
I found a new passion to work with young players and just give back to the game, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Once you're done playing, I think it's time. You have a duty, essentially, to give back to the game and help out others, and help them develop and become better hockey players.
Right on. Well, good for you for embracing that duty.
Yeah.
And so, Samit, here we go, like the mastermind, making the calls, building the team. I know I saw that you got into coaching. You went and coached with the NEAA.
Yeah.
Was that your first gig? And what's kind of your background in coaching now so far?
Yeah, so I kind of, jumped the gun a little bit there.
Yeah, you got
right into
the
program.
Yeah, that's okay. You skipped yourself.
Yeah.
Selfless man.
Yeah.
Selfless man.
I moved here back in 2004 when the Flames were actually in the playoffs during that time. From a small town at Elkford, BC.
Yeah.
Been playing, was put on skates at 2 years old, and jumped right into Bantam AAA, played all the way till midget AAA, had a tremendous opportunity playing for the max midget, which I'm sure you know about.
Yeah, you're heading to that tonight.
And tonight, watching some great athletes there, and I just went into Junior A, didn't quite make the cut halfway through, and then I was kind of tossed around through Junior B a little bit, and then I kind of, got into university from there, and then I got into coaching after that, started off midget AAA, And then I got an opportunity to work with...
So you got to start right in Major Midget.
Yeah, it was nice because I had a coach.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with hockey is, you know, you build all these connections. And I had a coach that trained me in the summer. I was Jay Pilipuke.
Yeah.
And he gave me a great opportunity. And from there, I applied to a really cool future leader program with Hockey Alberta. And it gave me an opportunity to work for the U16 team, and
nice. I didn't
that know. Was amazing, and yeah. that's kind of where the where it kind of came in.
You all right, man?
And,
sorry,
down the wrong tube, little H2O down the wrong tube. Sorry, just cough it out, man. Yeah. Like,
it's just water, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
But so the U16 program is where I wanted to do.
Yeah,
that's where the
that
passion
elite
came
level,
out.
Right? Young
yeah.
kids, they're sponges, and
yeah.
they all want it so bad.
Yeah, and
I get
essentially
that.
It was a full day thing. I'd get up at 7 a.m. I'd be with my team. There was four teams there, so it's a top 80 camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for the whole day, taking them to the off ice training. And that's kind of where the education thing kind of hit me, and I was like, this is so important that these elite level kids are getting this opportunity. And I feel like it should be, you know, for everyone else as well that's coming up through the ranks, and it's something that I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw what it took to be an elite level player, and that's kind of where, you know, I just knew I had to be a coach, and that's where the idea of the development program came in mind. And from there, I had to, you know, obviously go to school, finishing up my accounting degree, one more semester left with the University of Calgary. And then I got a great opportunity with a big 4CA firm downtown where that's kind of where the education took me.
Yeah.
And that's why the importance of education and sport, I think it's very important that it comes together for
mm-hmm.
all the athletes that don't really know about it. And I'm pretty sure, you know, from personal experience,
yeah.
we kind of put that on the back burner.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I didn't even think about school until I ran out of years in junior.
Exactly.
And I was like, I was 20, literally. And I was like, hey, maybe I should be doing something about this.
Yeah.
And yeah, same. So I know all about that. I mean,
yeah.
it doesn't feel that real, you know, when it's just like, you know, people are doing it, but you don't see the path. You don't see the little things that you can
yeah.
do, like you were saying before we got on here, how you're getting them to set up email accounts that aren't like, you know, big, what
yeah.
did you say? What was your sample?
Bad_boy.
Yeah.
Hotmail.
Bad_, like professional
yeah.
emails, right? That are
yeah.
going to, and emails at all, really.
Yeah.
And just start sending them out and start building your network, like you said.
Exactly.
And just, you don't have to, it's not like a miracle overnight thing. You just do little things that. You know, but doing the right things.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Lorenzo, could you touch on that topic, or do you want some meat to keep rolling? Just kind of like the what do you tell your kids? Like, so what are some of the stuff that you, the tips and like how you guide
kids.
Them?
So, for example, during the summer this year, we talked about the understanding certain opportunities at a young age, that the different paths that you can take. Going in hockey. So for example, we communicated to them about the possibility of either playing in NCAA
mm-hmm.
College or playing in the WHL. And
mm-hmm.
we talked about, it kind of links to the whole email account. We talked
mm-hmm.
about preparing yourself and reaching out to coaches, scouts, and essentially learning how to draft proper emails. And
mm-hmm.
Also just being aware of these opportunities, because I know me, for example, going through hockey, I didn't understand the opportunities out there. My parents immigrated here my grandparents immigrated here from Italy, and my dad was a tradesman, and
mm-hmm.
he wasn't really involved in the game of hockey that much. He just gave me that opportunity,
right.
But at the same time, he didn't know the opportunities out there for me, and I didn't necessarily reach out until after the fact,
right?
So in these education sessions that we have at these development programs, we presented how to go about attaining these opportunities and reaching out to people. And we brought in a player, for example, that did it firsthand, that came out of the Calgary North Stars Hockey Association, that I played with, and he's a good friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Tarek Hammond, playing for Denver University in the NCAA, played in the Frozen Four last year. So we got.
And he came and sat and talked to your kids.
Yeah.
And sorry, just a reminder: how old are these kids that you're? Most of your kids that you're dealing with.
So the age group that this scenario happened with is essentially 11, 12 year olds.
Yeah. So like nice and early, right?
Yeah.
Like it's early, but it's good to put it on their plate right away, right?
Exactly.
And they're in a boardroom setting, like not too many distractions. They're actually listening because they respect you guys and. And you just list off the credentials you just mentioned, and obviously these kids are just all ears, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
and it was awesome to bring in a guy like him because he was a player that went through the ranks that was always kind of put down because of his size. He was a small defenseman coming up. He always had the skill set, mm-hmm. but coaches would overlook him because he was small. So we talked to the players about realizing mm-hmm. that you can potentially be a late bloomer later on in your career. And potentially pursuing the route that Tarek did, going and playing for Okotoks Oilers for junior A and getting a scholarship to go play in college.
Mm-hmm.
So we communicate that these opportunities will happen at all different points of your career. It's not over if you don't get drafted into the WHL, essentially.
So mm-hmm. I guess what you guys are already getting across for your hockey program, I mean, we're 12 minutes in, we haven't even really talked about hockey yet.
Yeah.
Right. So obviously education is, you know, it's a 1A, 1B scenario. It's not, you know, I know when I was going through the ranks, it was education at school kind of fell, you know, 2-3 area on my priorities. So the more you can get that across, I think the better. Obviously, you're not going to be able to convert every single kid out there, but you guys are sending the right message and they're going to pick it up, right? The ones that really deserve to. So what else can we say about how you guys maybe differentiate, or if nothing comes to mind there, maybe just what goes on the ice?
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about differentiate, I think it's important that we're more of a mentorship program for these athletes because it's something like Lorenzo was saying, and I'm sure you know from the past, is that there was no guidance. So one, we're essentially, you know, their mentor, and we take it a little farther into the education, and we build these development books,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of part of the off-ice work in terms of nutrition, what are you eating, some food logs, stuff like that, goals, mm-hmm. Long-term goals, mm-hmm. And SMART goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure all the kids now, you know, they go back to school and they all know what the SMART, you know, SMART
right,
stands
the
for.
Right, acronym, yeah.
Exactly. So, and then to the on-ice, I think we really like to connect with the team. We like the team or the players or our program to figure things out on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of coaching is, it's a lot of direction.
Right.
But we let them figure it out on their own. That's our main driver in our coaching, and we make sure that that's communicated to them and they make their own decisions.
Right.
And then when they do make their decisions and they might not fit what the situation is, we like for them to communicate with us and say, why do you think that was good, or why do you think
right.
that was the wrong decision?
So, and that's the way like a lot of education is going to more of like a query-based direction, right? And you're thinking about getting into education, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I applied to the UFC to start in the fall, and I'm waiting to hear back. But that's something that I think is very valuable to our program because education is constantly changing. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's very innovative, and what the children are learning now, say for example in grade 5 classroom, is a lot different than what I learned back in grade 5. And
right.
So I think for us to stay current and keep working with our players, being involved in the education system and having that first-hand experience teaching the curriculum and learning the curriculum will be valuable for our program moving forward.
That's good. I mean, you guys are staying up to date with these trends in education and applying them to on ice teaching,
exactly.
which is money. Because all these things that you like, just from what I've heard, these concepts. I mean, these are backed by research and science, right? Like, there's a reason they've emerged
exactly.
as the approach,
mm-hmm.
and you guys are more about empowering. The sounds of it than
mm-hmm.
than teaching.
Yeah.
And perfect example of that. I'm just scrolling through you guys' Instagram while we're on here, and I see these kids are drawing up the drills on the board.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's a little bit something that, again, empowering, right? Empowering and making these kids learn in a, you know, 2-3 years before they actually have to do things like that even in school.
Yeah.
Because eventually you're going to have to walk into a university and be able to present.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just something that's empowering them and making them learn different skills.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about athleticism, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this is more of a mental hurdle for them. And for example, we had a player, and he was, you know, preparing the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Before he actually had to
present. Like doing your homework.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just about learning different things and being a leader. That's part of, you know, our main goal is making sure that these kids that come through our program come out of there as leaders.
Yeah.
And competitive, because I'm a competitor myself and Lorenzo is as well. And we want to make sure that these kids make an impact, whether it's in hockey or down the road in business or education or wherever route they take. We want them to be those leaders that, you know, represent our city and community and essentially our country, right?
Well, yeah, and you, again, like, everything's been on point. Everything's been, like, exactly the identity you guys are saying that you are. Is that's a great point to make. They're 11. They're in their element now, but they're basically practicing their presentation skills.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like you said, they're going to have to do it in university or in their career, and they're already getting, like, good practice at that in their element, where they're going to be somewhat comfortable with their buddies, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a cool picture, and it's a... Maybe I'll just like that.
Appreciate that.
Give it a quick like. Oh, 53 likes, not bad.
Yeah, we're getting up there.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, just to add to that, too.
Keep it going, yeah.
For example, if I was... When I first started university, I had no practice in terms of my communication or my presentation skills. I was that kid, first year class, up there with cue cards, fumbling with my speech. But now we're empowering these kids to just go up and express themselves. And we also, we want to give them the freedom to be creative and express themselves on the ice, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we try not to be restrictive in the way that we coach them. Just give them full empowerment.
Yeah, and one more thing to add for that as well is, like I said, coaching, you know, it's more of an art. I really like to read up on different sports, and I like to, you know, shout out to, I mean, you probably will never hear this, but Phil Jackson. That's one of the guys that really empowered me in terms of how he gave ownership to his team.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, figure things out on your own, and that's where sport comes in and how a connection is built, and that's
right.
How champions are made.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of an inner bond between each player,
mm-hmm.
Including the coach,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of what brought the ideas of, you know, being able to empower them and making them learn on their own, and then again, you know, tell us if this is, oh, maybe coach, we could do this.
Yeah,
that's something that I never had the opportunity. I never had a coach say,
no.
Hey, you tell me.
It's a different generation.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're about. And I think that's where you're going to learn. And that's the best, you know, learning environment, I think,
mm-hmm.
for each athlete.
Yeah, especially how kids are now. And our generation, we're kind of right on the cusp of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we understand it, and we see both sides. We see the 60-year-old coach that just yelled at us and didn't really quite understand us or ever talk to us both aside.
Yeah.
We had a couple coaches that were kind of on the curve of getting that, and so, you know, you
mm-hmm.
learn from both, and then you teach
yep.
these kids, right? Transfer it on. Sorry, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say, in terms of, like, an example of what you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
I was running an ice time, and I had a player come up to me and tell me, mid-drill, like, look, we could do a progression like this. We
mm-hmm.
can move in and make it a little bit more with a forecheck coming in on
mm-hmm.
a 3-on-2 or something
mm-hmm.
like that. And it's something that it was fairly simple but very profound to me, because when I was a player and I was just in practice, I would never go up to my coach
mm-hmm.
and tell him, look, like, you should include this into the
They would take
drill.
It personally. Their ego
yeah.
would come out and they'd
exactly.
be like, shut up and get back in line.
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah. That's exactly what would happen. And that's why you didn't. And then you just immediately squash those creative thoughts because you know that they're just going to be set aside.
It helps set like a positive environment for us as both coaches and players, and it creates a positive relationship because we both learn from each other. They learn from us, but we also learn from them, right? Because they have valuable insight to contribute to our practices and our ice times.
Yeah, and you think you can know what they need and what they, you know, what level of thinking they're at, but sometimes they're not quite where you hope they are. Yeah. They're not NHL, and you're like, oh, maybe I overdid it on this drill. But then other times they're like, you know what, they can add a nice little twist, right?
Exactly.
So another thing I noticed, and I don't really know how much elaboration you guys can do on this one, but I just thought it was cool on your guys' social media channels. You take pride in the kids you develop, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's really cool to see that you, like, spotlight these kids and you say, okay, we got, like, okay, this is actually a bad example. Because this is a kid with the puck, and I thought this was one of the spotlights. I was going to shout his name out. But, there's some on here. And you show a kid, you say his name, what team he just made, what kind of player he is, what kind of person he is. And it's like they're getting a professional treatment already at that age, and I can only imagine how good they feel when they see these positive things written about them on a social media platform with tons of followers. So that was a great idea. Do you want to touch on that at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I learned throughout my education experience with university and, you know, working downtown was networking and how you need to stay connected with what's around you, and the broader your network, the more opportunities you get as well. And that's kind of where the idea came from. And I have great mentors that are helping me currently. And that was just from networking and meeting people, you know, essentially like even with you starting whatever you're doing right now with the podcast, like that's, you know, you're meeting a bunch of people and that's what creates a network. And I think that for these kids that come through our program, it's reaching out, right? It's reaching out to coaches or junior A programs out there, getting their name out. It's fascinating to see. I mean, I've been doing some scouting work as well for Western Elite prospects, and it's pretty amazing to see these lists that are made at such a young age that I never even knew about.
Yeah.
Maybe now, or maybe there was a list back then as well.
Probably.
But it's, you know, it's about networking and getting your name out there. And we want to represent our players and get them, you know, in the best environment for their hockey and education, right? So that's kind of where the idea kind of came from with networking.
That's cool. I mean, I've been watching you guys from afar because, like you mentioned, like Sami, we've known each other, but we've really only, you know, hung out a few times and so that's why I've kind of say from afar on social media and stuff, and I see what you've been doing, and I bought in right away. Like, I could tell what the culture that you're trying to build, and here's Captain Jack, who led the 04 Knights to the championship game by notching the OT winner after killing a 4-on-3 power play in OT against the Vancouver Island Monarchs in the quarterfinals at the Vancouver Challenge Cup. Like, that's wicked stuff.
Special game.
Yeah, and, like, I've had lots of special games. I wish they were documented. Yeah. You know, like, this kid's got this forever. And, like, he's just head up. Like, this is sick. He's got the head up, like, puck on the stick, Captain Swag going, like, Captain Jack, what a beaut. Like, so, yeah, I think it's just, yeah, like you said, empowering, and then there's team building. Is it just Beyond the Boards? That's the Instagram name?
Yeah, Beyond the Boards HD. We got to have that HD for the hockey development.
Okay,
there.
Yeah. Beyond the Boards HD. Okay, yeah, that's what that is. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I thought you guys were just in high def, you know what I mean?
But one more thing to add on that is, as well, is I think there's one on Timmy Joza, you know, kid that came from Trails West, didn't really know him, came to our program and just excelled. And it's not just from, you know, us saying that he's excelling, but his parents are coming, right? We see it on the ice, you know. He's got all these little things that
just improved from 2 months of work that we've only had with him.
Yeah.
But that was one thing, but it was just the connection that we were able to create with him and the learning environment, letting him do things on his own, getting him to struggle. I think it's important. Like, we're hard on our players and we have to make them struggle, right, to get better.
Right.
And he did. I mean, he struggled in certain areas and he came out of there, and now he's, you know, just very, very, you know, impressive to see players like that.
For example, we went and watched a game of his a little over 2 weeks ago, and he's a different player. Like, when he first came to our program, he was a very skilled offensive player, but his positioning in terms of the D zone and the neutral zone needed a lot of work, and he used to run around on the ice all the time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we went and watched him, and he was probably one of the best players out there. He'd score a few goals, and mm-hmm. he was solid defensively, and it's nice to see that out there. You know,
that's, yeah, that's the payoff for you guys, right?
We had to sit him in Kelowna.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, it was tough. Mm-hmm. It was tough for us, but sometimes you have to do those things for mm-hmm. them to learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And give them the reason why. I think we all have that in our past where we've been sat on the bench and you don't know why.
You don't even get a word. It's just like, you're just sitting out.
And this is a 60-minute game.
Yeah.
So it's, say we do sit a player, no matter what, we give him that opportunity mm-hmm. to come back, because right. this is a 60-minute game. You got to stay positive,
yeah.
right? And, yeah, it was great learning experience for both, I think,
yeah.
for coach and player.
Yeah. Going back to that Vancouver Challenge Cup, that OT winner, that was a special moment for me as a coach. I'm pretty early in my coaching career,
mm-hmm.
But that was a special moment.
Yeah.
And it's cool that Instagram, we have these media platforms that mm-hmm. where we can document it, and
mm-hmm.
people see it.
Yeah.
Like, once it's out there, it's out there, and you never know who's going to see these pictures of these players, right?
Yeah.
Remember when I made Pee Wee 1 my first year, I was so pumped about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't have anybody document it.
No.
Said, right?
Yeah.
It's just my family saying, no, Ray,
yeah.
on, good job, buddy.
Yeah. And it's cool, like, the longer, further into the future you get, the cooler these memories become, almost. Like,
exactly.
If Captain Jack ends up being a stud and goes in the first round,
exactly.
like, it's even
yeah.
cooler to see, right?
Yeah.
So, good luck, Captain Jack.
Yeah.
Hope you're listening, buddy.
Jumbo Jack.
Yeah. yeah. What are some of the other guest speakers? Have you had many other ones at, like, your board, either on or off the ice, like guest teachers or instructors, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or guest speakers in the boardroom?
We started off with Crocius, Thomas Crocius, and he's a guy that I played hockey. We actually didn't play against each other, but we trained together in the summer with Crash Conditioning.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yeah.
Great guy. He played with, can't quite remember, actually.
Northwest, wasn't it?
I went to college in the States, played in an Ivy League.
Oh, Ivy League?
Princeton. Div 1.
Yeah.
Just an old friend, and that's kind of something that I was like, this is great for the boys to hear.
Yeah.
And he came by and... gave a speech to the boys of, you know, hard work, what it took, the patience, you know, deciding between the WHL and the Western League, or sorry, the WHL and the NCAA
right.
route, and it was really good in a sense of, it put things into perspective for the boys, and, you know, we had some parents say, hey, like, this is great, like, you know, I had so-and-so, you know, my son come up to me, say, I think this is the route for me. So it was a cool experience for them and for us, because I mean, he went to, you know, the Edmonton Oilers
mm-hmm.
training camp as well,
mm-hmm.
and now he's going to go be a doctor, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, you know,
it's wild.
And that came from his marks, and the
yeah.
big thing from that was making sure that the kids know that their marks are so important.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them that extra opportunity to
mm-hmm.
go to an Ivy League school.
Well, exactly. Like, they're. Yeah, he would have never gotten the chance to play at that level of hockey without the marks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a couple of buddies who did the same thing, and sadly, I have buddies on the flip side of the coin who didn't
yeah.
have the marks, and, you know, maybe you get a sniff in the dub, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you got a friend of a friend, or you got some some little chance in the dub, but maybe if you would have had the marks, you would have been solidly in at a Div 1 or even Div 3 school, and then you're getting, you know, your school paid for, and you know you're playing four more years of hockey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those are some of the factors I'm sure you guys talk about.
Yeah, we preach academics a lot within our programs. Like, we were talking about that player development program, the little booklet that we gave these players. We gave them in August so that for the next upcoming school year, they can set their goals in terms of their academic grades as well. Not only just their goals for their hockey career, but their academic grades, where they want to go. It's just to get them start thinking about that, right?
Yeah.
Because it's important, it's so important. Yeah.
Let's kind of focus in on the operations now. It's almost a new year. What's your guys' timeline like for the next 6 months, next year?
Yeah.
Let's just start with that for now.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we just yesterday we finished our 2004 spring hockey team tryouts.
Yeah.
So that's finalized, and now we're looking into, we've already created the program for the 2008 year of birth, like you said, before, we want to get them early. So we're working on creating the spring program. It's created now. It's just we're at the point where we're recruiting players. So this next new year is going to be big focuses on, you know, getting our name out there, getting some communication between parents. And a lot of it's, you know, with word of mouth, with the players that we have. So the 2008...
That's the best way to grow. It's the most organic, true form of, like, growing a business or growing anything, right?
Yeah, and that's the new... I would say four-month plan here, and then, you know, we'll have two spring programs kicked off in April, starting April, and Lorenzo will be focused on the 2008 group, and I'll be with the 2004 group. Moving forward, you know, we'll have those two groups going in and going into the summer and get them ready to go, as, you know, especially the Peewees who are getting into the Bantam stage here. So we want to make sure that it's, you know, they're ready to go and they're able to take that step into quadrant hockey. I think that's a
big one.
It's a big step, and I believe they're prepared already, and they will be by, you know, it comes August. So that's
so when's the spring season actually start?
April 1st.
April 1st, and it's only a couple months.
Yeah, till June 5th. We have to make sure to. There's got to be a balance. There's got to be a balance between how much hockey they're playing and as well as their life.
Yeah.
Because they're just coming off a long season. And
it's
you have to make a balance. And we've constructed it in a way where, you know, they're not just learning on the ice. They need to learn off the ice. And, you know, we're implementing some things about emotional intelligence as well. A lot of off-ice work that we're looking into implementing and creating, you know, this environment for them that's not just on the ice, that develops their overall athleticism. And touching up on the 2008, we've called it a multi-sport program. So at that young age, like, I was in karate back in BC, and I was playing hockey at the same time. So we want to make sure that these younger kids are playing different sports and developing, you know, different muscles, right?
Yeah,
different muscles, and not just, you know, at the hockey rink. I mean, yeah, you're going to be consumed by the game, you're going to be playing hockey outside with your friends, which is great, but it's important to put some time into another sport and just develop those different muscles that you just don't
different
use.
Movements
yeah.
different you're getting more creativity, I think, across the board. It's like, I see what you're saying. It's like trying to paint a picture with just one color or a few colors, right? It's like, what, there's so much more opportunity. Like, little plays that you would have never thought of. Maybe if you're playing basketball or something, your mind might just automatically think of, like, a different route that you can take. Like, I totally agree with that. I don't know the science behind it, and they're probably working on it now, but I like to play all sports when I was a kid, and I think it definitely helped me. Like, if I was just playing hockey, you'd be sick of it. And B, I don't think you have the full, like, all the tools that you might actually gain from other sports.
And to add to that, I mean,
we're basing a program as well, aligning it well with Sport for Life,
okay,
which is a program that's run by Leah Norris, who I had the opportunity to meet, and they're a non-for-profit where they're trying to communicate to organizations of making sure that these young athletes are, you know, developing in different ways in different sports and, like you said, different movements,
mm-hmm.
and the stages of development.
Cool.
So we make sure, like, we're not, you know, masters of science of development. I mean,
mm-hmm.
there's all these different things around the world,
mm-hmm.
but we're making sure that, you know, we're following a good program to make sure that there's science to support why we're doing it. If parents or players have questions regarding
it,
we like to follow at least a little bit of the learning development stages as well. So
good stuff.
Yeah. It essentially just provides a framework for how we design our programs.
Right. A lot of thought goes into that.
Exactly. Yeah. And in terms of like the specialization in hockey, in terms of like your training,
mm-hmm.
The Sport for Life program talks about how kids at like the, for example, the 2008 age group should be playing multiple sports, because there's plenty of examples of athletes, professional athletes that have played baseball.
Right, yeah, that's a good point. You hear all these guys who could have went and played
either or,
and they've just fed each other, I'm sure.
Exactly, so we think it's important to promote that within
mm-hmm.
our programs here and include hockey players that want to play soccer or
mm-hmm.
baseball in the spring.
Yeah.
We think it's really important.
Yeah, cool.
And one more other thing is we're creating an opportunity for other players that we've played with in the past, or some other, I guess, you know, professionals out there that are wanting to give back as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next, you know, in the next 12 months here, we're at a spot where, you know, we're slowly growing, and we're looking for people who have played the game and are passionate about it, who have the same, you know, aspirations and passions about the game, and we're looking into add on you know, give back essentially.
Yeah, no, that's a very, very important thing to mention, because I mean our audience, the people listening to this, are going to be a lot of our hockey buddies and stuff, so it's important to let them know that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they want to get involved, and I don't know what capacity, but they can
mm-hmm.
hit you up, I guess.
Yeah,
and
yeah, I mean,
because you're looking to grow, right? That's
yeah.
the point.
Yeah, we're looking to build personnel, right?
Yeah.
We know that the mission and the vision that we want to accomplish, we need more than just two people
in
our program, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking to expand.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's definitely a good one to touch on. So I guess, I know you said you don't know how deep you want to get into this topic, but beyond the year, I know as sort of an entrepreneur myself, and with someone with a lot of ideas, in the infancy stage, they can be a little bit fragile, so it's kind of scary to share them all.
Yeah.
That's all right. But if you want to tell us what kind of your grand vision of is for Beyond the Boards.
So grand vision, I guess I can start off with, I mean, my personal aspirations as well. I mean, you know, completing my CPA, I think that's important for me to get the knowledge. And I actually had an opportunity to work in a capacity with the Los Angeles Kings American Hockey League team this past summer, to learn about sport and the business side as well. It's just for my personal development, and see how these, you know, teams work and how they function. And I think that's a part of me that's my passion as well, and I like to take it to what we're trying to do here. And our long-term goal would be to create a development school, be, you know, that stepping stone into a elite level competitive hockey,
right?
Essentially. And
so you're going, like, you're talking grand vision. We're still talking grand vision. So you're talking like what age group?
Yeah.
Because what age group are you talking? Like 8?
I would say junior high.
Yeah.
We would have, you know, the guys. That's kind of where the core is into developing into that, you know, elite. You're taking your route into Western Hockey League or the junior A route, but we want to get them early. So I would say 8 to 13, 14.
Yeah. Okay.
In that stage.
So that's your niche.
Yeah.
The very moldable valuable minds and personalities, right? Where you're gonna have the most impact, probably. So.
Yeah, and we want to shape their, we want to help them shape
before
their identity,
they,
right?
Before they think drinking and other stuff is cool,
yeah,
and stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
put
yeah
up some, try and help them out with,
yeah,
you know, safeguards against all the traps, right?
Yeah.
All the things that can distract you from your career and what's important.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah. That, I think that's a very, I'm glad I actually didn't know this answer,
mm-hmm,
and I'm glad you didn't just try and say from 7 to 17,
mm-hmm,
or like whatever, right?
Yeah.
Because that's just, it's too much.
Yeah.
And for the focus, like, it's good to hear that you guys are focused on the right,
yeah,
age group.
Yeah.
Essentially, we want to be a program that's like a stepping stone into competitive hockey,
right,
quadrant hockey,
right,
going into the WHL or NCAA, right?
Yeah.
And we think focusing in on this group will provide the most value.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So. Right on. Well, did you guys have anything else? I mean, we are a little shy of the hour, but I don't
yeah
want to just force content. I think this has been one of the best ones yet, for sure. You guys have got a lot of across, and yeah, I don't know. What do you guys figure?
Yeah, I mean, we can talk a little bit about how, I guess, in the next year or so, how these players, you know, they're getting older.
Yeah.
And we're gonna make sure that we provide the right information as they get older, in terms of mentorship. You know, these kids are already in Bantam. It's, you know, it's blink of an eye. These kids are getting older, and by the time, you know, they'll hit 17, and we want to make sure that we're still providing that value if as they come out of our program.
Mm-hmm.
Do they want to be an engineer?
Mm-hmm.
Do they want to meet an accountant? Well, you got an accountant right here.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so that mentorship to connect.
Yeah, the ongoing mentorship.
Yeah, and,
right,
and find your way. And another, you know, thing is, our goal of ours is, these kids are going to get older, and we want them to come back, right? And maybe come back in a coaching capacity,
mm-hmm,
and set themselves up for a future. It's,
yeah,
it's we look forward to that. I think, I mean, developing leaders and how, you know, like I said, how important the network is, how important the people around you and the people that support you is what you're going to remember,
mm-hmm,
as you get older and as you hit university. So.
Yeah, I kind of already said this, but the more I think about it, like, that age group is the untapped market right now. Like, it really is. It's the overlooked, yet still so pivotal, important age where you're not quite in ultra, like, what we say, competitive. That's basically
yeah
when the quadrant starts, right?
Yeah.
And I remember all the time, like, this is, I have so many buddies who quit, right? Because they didn't make quadrant.
Yeah.
Right, that's the that's a huge drop off year.
It
right
is. It's,
and if you can gear up and you can make that one, then you're well on your way, right?
Yeah,
so,
mean, and adding to that, it's, you know, teaching them that you get cut, you can still,
it's not
you,
over.
You have 5 years.
Yeah.
And for example was Tarek, right? I mean, he never made those teams, but he continued to work, and you have till 20.
Yeah.
You have till 20, and for me personally, like, I never got drafted to the WHL when I was 14. I got invited,
mm-hmm,
to the Medicine Hat Tigers, but that was a big, you know, big drop-off year for me.
Right.
I struggled my 15-year-old year because I wasn't with the guys that I thought I was going to be playing with. And,
right,
and I, you waste the year, and then by the time 17 comes around, you're done.
Yeah,
it,
mentally,
it, yeah,
you didn't deal with it enough. Maybe
yeah
you didn't have the, I don't, maybe your support system could have been stronger, or your at least could have been, you know, the emotional intelligence side
yeah
of things you were touching on. Didn't have those tools to
yeah
deal with that, right?
Yeah, and example, Johnny Dunbar. Shout out to France. He's in France playing professional, and he's a guy that, you know, I still believe he was, probably still is, the best player that came out of Calgary. And,
wow.
He's just, you know, you watch him play, and he was a guy that, you know, continued for 5-6 years, and now he's playing professional in France, right?
Yeah.
And he's a guy we're actually looking to bring, talk to the boys next summer.
Nice.
I have a close relationship with him since, you know, back in, I think we're 13 or 14. So
nice.
A lot of guys that just continue to play on, and you know, they're in Europe. Another guy, Chris Leidsman, as well. Jared Winya, a couple guys I played junior A with, and now they're, you know, they're still playing the game.
Yeah.
And they still have that opportunity, and they're getting their education, right?
So. Yeah, and they're just, it's key to have those because they're good examples of guys that can reinforce the ideas you're trying to instill, right?
Yeah.
And everyone has a cool, by that age, everyone has a cool, like, life story.
Yeah.
As far as how their hockey career went, what the pivotal stages were, when you reflect on it, especially when you're, yeah, a few years removed from it, and you kind of grow up and you realize the why, where your forks in the roads were, and when you went the right way and when you went the wrong way.
Yeah.
So you, like, you know, it's, this is, this kind of stuff about growing up has been said for years, but the more people you can get to share those things, and the ones that went the right way enough times and are in the professional ranks now, like, that's who the kids need to learn from, right? So
it's cool. We've had a lot of players that, you know, have reached out as well, wanting to help out, and I like to talk about the program, but I'm really trying to create a movement, I think, a movement in itself in the sport.
Yeah.
So.
Sweet. Well, that's a grand vision, and that's a good one to end on. So let me just cue up a little track here.
Another great tune.
Some people might have heard this one. And any final words? Because I'm just gonna let this play out, and then that'll be it.
Say thank you for having us on the podcast, man.
Yeah, no problem. I
love talking about this and love talking about the company that we were involved with. It's awesome.
Thank you. And if anyone is interested in, you know, learning a little bit more about it, we're at that stage where, you know, we're looking into add personnel and you know, create the best, you know, learning environment for these athletes that that, you know, we were once. So
perfect. All right, thanks guys.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it.
She doesn't see the steam of the steam.